ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum.
Welcome everyone, and Mrs. Faversham.
Both of them. They're both listening. I have to admit, I have something of an unfair advantage over the listener because I'm being treated to songs from Broadway musicals. You're singing some
Gary
Rodgers
Indiana.
And Hammerstein. Yeah.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. I don't know why. What? Did you say Indiana?
No, it's from The Music Man, right?
No.
That song is from The Music Man, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think so.
But I thought I heard... My brain works very strangely.
This is the part where I'm supposed to disagree with you. And
yeah,
yet
I'm waiting.
Not. I'm not.
I thought I heard somebody either say Gary or Indiana.
No, that was the best part of it. Was that nobody mentioned either Gary or Indiana.
I'm sorry.
But you just started bursting into song, singing Gary, Indiana, and a great rendition. Really fun to watch, but nothing prompted it at all.
I'm sorry. I can't explain anything anymore, Bill.
A couple of weeks ago, I know you won't remember this. Jasmine, you may remember this.
Oh, boy.
We were in the office before the show, and everybody was doing their business, and you said, there was nothing that prompted this at all. You said, and I quote, "Rock and roll is here to stay, people." And there was no debate before that or after that, because I believe you're right. I think rock and roll is going to, it'll be here for a long time. But it's like nothing brought that on. You just felt the need to say it, and we all agreed. Yes, it is.
That is what ADHD is all about. It's blurting.
Yeah,
it is, honest to God,
no,
it is impulse control.
I know.
I have none.
Right. That's not, is that bad or good? It's probably both.
Well, thankfully you have come to accept it.
Yes. We all accept it.
I think I may scare people if they don't know me, if I just blurt something out.
Depends on what it is. You kind of like, you form sentences, like if you just yell, like if you just went up to people on the street and just yelled,
yeah, I wouldn't do that.
People go, "Oh, I thought a polar bear was behind me, but it's just Wendy." And I too love Gary, Indiana, they would say. I'm also a fan of the people of Gary, Indiana. Why did you stop at one? You could have done a whole medley. It would have been great.
I'm not as familiar with the Music Man stuff.
You could have just segued into We Got Trouble Right Here in River City. I would have been behind you in that. That would have been fun. 76 trombones. You close with
lead the orchestra.
Yes.
And 101.
Yep.
Right behind.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Look up the words later.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Pirates of Penzance or HMS Pinafore.
Both brilliant. Both so good, so entertaining. This is why you need a one-woman show. You need to go to the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse and just put on a show.
Do you know what a one-woman show equals?
What?
A one-person audience.
You don't think people would come to see this?
I got nothing. I got nothing to offer.
You tell a couple of stories. You sing some of the songs that people want to hear from the Broadway musicals that you love so much. And you close with a laser show. And everybody goes,
"All right,
what did I just see?"
The closing with a laser show would be totally worth it.
People would be talking about it. You'd get a mention in Sneed. Sneed would mention you.
I don't need a Sneed mention.
You don't want a Sneed mention? Mm-mm. All right.
Are you a Sneedling?
You know I'm a Sneedling. I have spooled pasta with the celebrities.
No, isn't a Sneedling the one who tells her, like the spies?
No, I think a Sneedling is just a little bit of information that she's throwing out at you. I thought that's what a Sneedling was. I thought.
I could be wrong.
Could be both.
I'm feeling unsatisfied.
Because why? What happened?
Our emergency room doctor we talked to on 7:20 a.m. I'm not 100%. I don't think I'm 100% for the legalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know more about it, but I want facts that say here's why it's bad, here's why it's good. And I didn't feel like I got that. And someone kind of texted, and it's really hit home. The woman we spoke to, and this is true, has related weed to all the evils in the world. She mentioned hallucinations, cartels, human trafficking, closing down hospitals. And this text says, "I've waited for 2 days for an honest talk about weed, and this is just BS."
Mm.
And we were supposed to talk to her yesterday, and she
came in late.
So we moved it again. And I'm not, I don't, I don't know how I feel, but I would like facts presented so I can decide whether or not I want it. I mean, I know I'm not the determining factor, but...
No, you are. People have, I don't know if you know this, Wendy, but Mayor Lightfoot has said it's up to Wendy.
I'm loving her.
I don't know. Has she? I mean, all we know of her so far was her speech, which was very inspiring. So, you know, I think the jury may still be out on Lori Lightfoot as our mayor. I don't know.
My son, we'll find out. Michael, is 20 years old today. I almost said 20 degrees. He's 20 years old today. And this morning, I make stupid signs around the house when it's someone's birthday because I want them to wake up and, like, see.
Know that it's a special day. So what was the sign today for his birthday?
It was really stupid because
Was it this? Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. Was that it?
That would have been better.
What'd you put?
I just put 20 is funny. And I made a little sign, and then I put, happy 20th, Michael.
You know who'd be proud of you? Nipsey Russell.
Yes.
He'd be very proud of that.
On the next sign, I will write, Nipsey Russell wishes you a happy birthday.
Do that. And then wait for a very confused look from him.
So I woke him up this morning to say happy birthday. I needed him to do something early. Yeah. I didn't even let him sleep in. And we were talking about stuff, and he says, or maybe this was last night, but he said, I really hope Lori Lightfoot does a good job. And I said, Michael, I do too. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of hope. It sounds like she's going to do what she can.
Mm-hmm.
Already shaking things up a little bit.
You got to have high hopes, Wendy. High hopes.
I'm not going to bite.
High apple pie in the sky hopes.
I'm not going to bite you or bite at the bit.
I hope you don't bite me. I'm not in the mood for that.
When we were talking to Kate Mulgrew earlier, what did she say? I love the way you... Remember, you got a great... Not the jig is up. She said something like that, and you said that's a nice...
Her father said upon meeting her mother, I hope...
That's a different book.
I hope, right. Let's hope that all he did was meet her mother. But he said, and I quote, I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah, I'm going to remember that.
That's a nautical phrase.
It is?
Yeah. Cut of a jib would be maritime related. A ship would have a cut of a jib.
I'm going to write that on Michael's second birthday.
He must have thought she was a sailing ship.
Poster. All right.
So getting back to the beginning of this, you feel unsatisfied because why? Because
an emergency room doctor says
not what you expected.
Well, I wanted statistics, like, you know.
She had some. She had some stats.
Well, she's talking about, you know, they're doing testing about babies coming in whose parents smoked weed. What is that in relation to parents who drank while they were pregnant? I just feel like, right. I know it's legal there now. And I don't know that it's working great for them. My biggest concern is if someone's under the influence, how can anyone tell if they're under the influence?
Right.
If they do a blood test, which they're not going to do on the street, but if you get in an accident and you go to the hospital, they're going to take your blood whether you agree to it or not.
Yes.
And if they find THC in your system, how do they know it's from that day or a week ago?
What you just said is one of the exact problems of why rushing it through seems a little much right now.
But that, I guess, is my other question, is rushing it through, how long do you have to wait? I don't know. I just have a lot of questions, and I would like some facts. Like, here's what's good about legalizing marijuana. Because what shocked me to hear this ER doctor say was that despite the fact that it's legal, there's still a black market for it.
Mm-hmm.
That shocked me. I mean, I guess there are still some people who make moonshine, aren't there?
There is, and I knew that would still exist, but I didn't know that it would thrive. But that's been one of my arguments, because people always go, well, I'm sure the black market for marijuana will just go away. But you go, no, why would it? Because they'll undercut the price. They'll figure out ways to undercut the price.
They're doing that with pharmaceuticals, right?
Yeah, they're doing it with pharmaceuticals. And the same argument is made about gambling. People go, oh, once they legalize gambling, it'll all be on the up and up. No, it won't. There'll be plenty of guys who go, well, instead of paying this much in juice, you'll pay this much in juice. We'll cut you a deal. It'll do even better, you know?
I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah, people have said that.
But see, that's...
Mostly sea captains have said that to me.
These are the questions I want answered. Like, why doesn't it go away? When alcohol was illegal, you know, people did it under the table. But then when it became legal and the government could tax it...
Yeah. Because people still found ways, much like will happen with marijuana or with gambling, people will still find ways to capitalize on it. Even though it's legal, they'll still say, well, here's what you're paying for the legal version. Here's what you'll pay me for the illegal version. So even though it's a small savings, it, you know, for somebody who has a regular use of any of those things, it adds up, you know.
I don't like that it's more powerful now.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a huge problem.
But see, that's where I expected the government to work for me and to put restrictions on it. So, you know, my big argument that I tell my kids not to smoke pot or do drugs is because you open a can of beer, you know what's in it. You get a joint from someone, you don't know what's in it.
Right.
And even if you got it from your friend, where did your friend get it?
Right.
So I feel like with government control, perhaps it would be regulated more, but now I'm hearing. So that's what I mean. I have a lot of questions.
But she did say versions of all that. You know, she did. And I know it's just her viewpoint, but I do trust somebody who's in. I'm not saying she was right on everything she said because it was her version of it, but she's in the trenches. She's seeing.
I get it.
So she knows.
But I just, there, it didn't seem like a study, like, you know, since weed has been legalized, we've seen more people be treated in the emergency room because of weed. Well, I would like to see how much more.
Right.
I mean. And
I think she alluded to how much more. If you go back and listen to the very beginning of it, she did give some numbers out in terms of that, you know.
And I agreed with being impaired. If you give a pilot a joint, isn't that a children's book?
Yeah, a best-selling children's book.
You give a mouse a cookie, or if you give a pilot a joint. But if you give a pilot a martini at the alcohol bar or at the airport bar, so I just have some questions. I felt unfulfilled, and we ran out of time, and I hate that.
Oh,
I hate having, you know, she's midpoint, and it's like, I got to go. We got Dean Richards waiting to come on, and you know what he's like if he's late.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So that's just it. I just want to kind of have somebody who knows what they're talking about, the pros and cons of legalizing marijuana, because it's going to affect all of us.
Should we do a weekly segment with her?
No. With her? No, never again.
No.
But I just would like to find someone. I mean, don't you have questions?
Yeah. I mean,
it affects all of us.
And it affects all of us.
Are we going to be voting for it? Is it just going to happen?
I don't think we'll vote for it. I think they'll just decide, because it's a sure way for the government to make money. They can't lose money on it, you know? And the same with gambling. So these things that for years and years and years the government said, you better not gamble, you better not smoke marijuana, all of a sudden they go, oh wait, we're making a cut of it? Please gamble. Please smoke some marijuana.
See, that bothers me too.
Yeah. It's
because it's not a way
to easy money for the government, and that's infuriating to me. I gambled a lot. I had a gambling problem. I'm not for the legalization of gambling. I think making it easier, what it does is it gets to people who are kind of on the fringe. Not everybody has enough income to gamble on the basis that you want to. If you're a gambler, you want to gamble all the time. Not everybody, but if you've got it in you to gamble, it's like sugar. It makes you want to gamble more, you know?
Well, it's all the vices. I mean, you know, there are people that can't afford to buy cigarettes, but they're addicted and they buy them. There are people that shouldn't be spending their money on booze.
Right.
So if that's your addiction.
Right.
But now, I don't, so gambling is not legal here?
Well, no.
There's off-track betting. I can go do that, right?
If you go to any of the casino boats, you can gamble all you want, but.
What about all these slot machines that are everywhere?
Yeah, they've restricted the rule. They've let up on the restrictions on those rules. But now the big thing is, the thing that will change the game forever is they're going to legalize sports gambling. So that's going to change things dramatically.
I will never do that.
I don't see that. You're safe.
But I'll, you know, drink every beer that's available, smoke every cigarette.
Yeah.
Those are my vices. Yeah. I don't need the pot.
Mountain. I'm trying so bad to get you another Broadway musical.
No,
no, you won't do it? All right.
Climb every mountain.
Now we're happy. Now the crowd is happy.
Board every stream.
Rainbow until
you find your dream.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Show tunes.
So. But you know what I mean, where the government, it's, you know, it's one of those things where they're so fickle about it. You can't be gambling and smoking and drink. Come on. Oh, wait, a cut? Please, have at it. It's, I know. And I know there's plenty of people who go, hey, it's our human right. If we want to gamble, we should be able to gamble. If we want to smoke marijuana, we should be able to. Kind of.
Yeah, but then it's like, it's just such a catch-22, Bill. And that's why, you know, everybody made fun of John Kerry because he was kind of a flip-flopper on issues and stuff. I'm like that with things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want government to interfere with my right to choose whether or not I want an abortion.
Right.
But so then I don't want them to choose whether or not I gamble or smoke. So I
right.
just feel like make it legal. And I mean, some people overdose on Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. you know, I was going to say that's not your fix, but it may be someday.
Kool-Aid is my fix.
why do you want government regulating things, I guess, is the question. Like, why do you want them? You don't want them to legalize it because...
With gambling?
Yeah, because you feel more people will lose money on it, or...
I think, like, all right, so for me, specifically, because I can't on a daily basis, I'm a sports fanatic, and in the old days, I bet on stuff every day. I would bet on basketball games,
legal,
on
then?
Baseball games. Nope.
You did it on the down low?
I did. I went, yes. I went to download.com.
That's a great website, by the way.
I should really
see if
that's taken, Wendy, because you and I can make a lot of money on download.com. But for me right now, because it's not easy to gamble on sports, there's a couple of paces that could make it easier for me, but I'm smart enough to know to not do it. But if it was everywhere, if on my way to my car, two or three places that, you know, you look inside and guys are having a good time betting on sporting events, you go, I'll stop in here for a minute and see. I'll watch the game with these guys and see what happens. The temptation would be very, very great.
But now you have just explained that why an alcoholic has the temptation, because they
sure.
can. So, I mean, at some point, it's like we have to take care of ourselves.
Ideally, yes, but there's so many people that are... what you just described is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, I was very fortunate. I stopped in a day. I just went, this isn't fun anymore, and I just stopped doing it. But I could tell you a story. I know people who just go, yeah, I tried that, and it lasted 3 minutes.
I went one time with my girlfriend Marianne to one of those slot machine bars.
Yeah.
I think it was just a pizza place, and they had some machines, so we had a cocktail. And I put in, I don't know, I might have spent $20 goofing around doing it. And I'm like, okay, let's go somewhere else. And she's like, I'm not quite done yet.
Yeah.
And people were coming in that should not be wasting that money.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have a great car. I'm not basing this and being snobby, but it looked like their car was about ready to fall apart. They didn't look like they had a lot of money, and yet here they were dropping hundreds. And I'm like, this is a little pizza restaurant.
I can't tell you how many times I sat next to somebody at a blackjack table where I was betting $5 or $10 a hand, and just through my conversation with them, I know they couldn't afford a $50 a hand habit, but that's what they were betting, with somebody who you could tell by the way they were dressed, by the brief conversation, that's somebody that shouldn't be betting $50 a hand on blackjack, but they were. So
we all have our demons. That's all I can say. And
is there a Broadway song, Wendy, that sums that up that you can share with us? Nothing. All right.
I don't think of
one for later.
I will try and think
right.
of one.
All right. Kim Gordon will be by. She'll give you the news. And then there's a lot more show ahead. Well, a half an hour's worth, but we'll pack a lot into it. It's Bill and Wendy on W.
When I take you out tonight with me, honey, here's the way it's gonna be.
Take it, Wendy.
You will set behind.
Not yet. Kim, I know you have to go.
Horses in the slickest gig you ever seen.
Is this from Carousel?
Chicks and ducks.
This is from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
When I
take you out in Missouri. You can do it, Wendy. Do it.
Take you out in Missouri with the fringe on top.
Yep.
Watch that fringe and see.
Can I tell you how much I love musicals?
Yes. I love musicals. I am such a musical geek.
Are you?
And if you love musicals, I just cannot believe you've never watched The Sound of Music. I know you don't.
I'm
going to
watch
there.
It. I'm going to break down and watch it this summer.
And you know what? We need to find Sound of Music sing-along, and I will go with you.
Oh, Wendy,
you know
do
what?
It.
I don't know. Actually, I know a lot of the songs from it.
I just
have never seen it. I mean, it's
the best.
But Kim, you know that Wendy has an aversion to all things Julie Andrews,
I know,
right?
And I don't understand that, because I love Julie.
Yeah, she's very lovable.
Big Julie.
But anytime there's a mention of anything, Julie
made
Andrews,
this morph into something bigger than it is. I just had never seen The Sound of Music.
Or... Mary Poppins.
Oh, you didn't see Mary Poppins?
or Thoroughly Modern Millie.
My dad died when I was young. My mom was busy. My brother and sister were older than me. They didn't have time to show me these things.
Did your mom forbid you to see anything with Julie Andrews?
No, it's just...
You kids don't have a father. You don't need to go out and watch Julie Andrews movies.
I gotta tell you, she didn't have a lot of time to take me to do things, so my grandmother did.
Yeah.
My grandma was the one who took me to the movies most frequently. She took me to my first movie, which was Hello, Dolly! With Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Was that your first movie?
Yeah, I think so.
What was yours, Kim? Do you remember?
I think the... What I remember, I probably went to a movie before this, but Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I remember.
That's a good starter.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah. That was my first. That
I saw that on TV.
I absolutely remember 100% going to.
You didn't see that in the theater or in the drive-in?
I was a poor kid.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford the theater. Good.
It's not even about affording it. I was an afterthought.
Wendy. Come on.
Well, my mom, my dad was only 46 or 47 when he died.
Yes. Were you an oops baby?
No.
Oh.
I just,
despite
my brother
what it
and
said
sister.
On your jumper. Little pink jumper.
I always say my husband said, was the oops. Best mistake his parents ever made.
You know, the hospital should stop giving out those jumpers.
Yes, they should.
Because they give you a complex.
It's a bad thing.
But my brother and sister are 2 years apart, but they're like 7 and 9 years older than me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they kind of hung out, and I had
so
imaginary
like their
friends.
Little baby.
Oh, no, they hated me.
Were you left to your own devices?
Yep.
You were?
That's how I'm so self-sufficient.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I got in a lot of trouble. Yep. And I learned how to play Chinese checkers all by myself.
By yourself.
I don't know if they're the correct rules, but they're my rules.
I love Chinese checkers.
And backgammon.
I haven't played that in a long time.
I used to.
But these are games
so sad that I'm saying this.
Did you play Jacks?
I did. Yeah,
oh,
I played Jacks.
I love Jacks. Yeah. We need to sit down here on the floor and get
some
Jacks.
So you bounce the ball, you pick up one Jack, you catch the ball. You bounce it again, you catch pick up two Jacks.
Oh, I was good, though. And then you sweep. We used to play this. I'd go to summer camp for 8 weeks, so that we spent a lot of time on a wood floor playing Jacks.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the number of splinters you would
I
get.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
that makes sense.
Playing Jacks.
Sure.
And we used to, in order not to get splinters, you put baby powder on the floor.
Oh, wow.
So then your hand would
smoother
sweep easier
surface.
And it wouldn't splinter you.
I don't know of anyone else who's had that issue with Jacks, but it makes sense. If there's splinters, you
if
have
you
to.
If you went to summer camp and you're on a cabin
to.
Floor, I bet you did.
Yeah.
I didn't go to summer camp.
No,
I didn't do anything.
Well, that's all right. Or have like a pity party for.
Well, I honestly had a great upbringing. I really did. But when I think about it, and it's, as Bill was going to point out, all the games I played usually is a game you play with a partner.
Right.
But I would just go to the other side of the table.
Didn't you? So you would make a move on one side of the table and then walk around
to the other,
side.
Oh, my gosh.
Why wouldn't you have put like a stuffed teddy bear or something and played
against? Maybe I did. I don't really recall. I've blocked it out. Mm. I just know that I had four alter egos that played Yahtzee against me.
Four?
Mm-hmm. I would fill in the name of the, you know, Wendy, and then I whatever names I put there. Probably my imaginary friends, Leah Branch-Schmidto, Oreo Lekas, and then just Billy or something.
Oh, my son had an imaginary friend he called Billy.
I didn't really have it.
Do you know how hurtful that is to a real boy named Billy? You know, everybody else was just imagining.
You know, I used to say to him, like, come on, Andrew, do this. He'd be like, Billy can do it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was like two or three, but Billy was around for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wendy already knows this, but my brother had two imaginary friends for years, the Motion Brothers, Bobby and Johnny Motion. And Bobby Motion would do everything in fast motion, and Johnny Motion did everything in slow motion.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes at dinner, my brother would just move his head around, and we'd go, what's wrong? We'd go, Bobby Motion came in, took a sandwich, and left.
Well, that happened. So Andrew would do that. He'd be sitting on a chair, and he'd get up. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, Billy wants to sit down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very real to kids, isn't it?
Yeah, they love
it. As ridiculous as it is later in life, you go, yeah, that was very real at the time. So, Wendy, at some point, like when friends came into your life, how did you explain to your imaginary friends that you were going to play backgammon with the new kids instead of them?
I just dumped them.
They were gone?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Harsh.
Well.
I mean, you do what you have to do.
I imagine they handled it well.
You never heard words to the contrary, as far as you're concerned. They went on to live. You never hear from them now,
no.
I'm guessing. I'm hoping.
No.
They don't even send you an email?
Mm-mm.
No. Text? Nothing?
No, someday in therapy I'll talk to him again.
Right.
But I just...
Well, it's good you don't need them anymore.
I didn't... That's the only reason I didn't see The Sound of Music. I didn't see... I think I saw Peter Pan, but I mean, think about it. My brother and sister were a couple years apart.
Yeah.
My mom was not working when they were my age, young age, so they could go take her to the movies or, you know. I went to Brookfield Zoo almost every weekend with my grandma. I ended up working at Brookfield Zoo because of that. I just loved going there, but we didn't go to movies that much. And to this day, I'm still not a huge movie lover. I'd rather wait till it comes out and then watch it on my own couch.
Boy, I don't think as a kid 2 weeks ever went by that we didn't go to a movie. Drive-ins all the time in the summer. Every Sunday we went to the drive-in.
I never went.
And during the rest of the year,
until I was an adult.
Yeah. Wow.
Jim took me to my first drive-in somewhere in Glenview that I don't know if it's still there. Yeah. Waterworld. That's whatever year that was.
That was the first drive-in movie.
That was my only drive-in experience.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
need a little to keep me going in life, Bill.
Well, to do it once, because then you can say, yes, I've been to a drive. You understand the everything experience.
Pretty cool. It was pretty cool. The sound sucked. The speaker was terrible.
Yeah.
But it was just a unique experience.
You get bit up to high heaven, but it's still...
It was always amazing to me, because we went so often, they would show you between movies, you know, not just the things about the concession stand is now open, and get some
and
popcorn.
The hot dog jumps
that. All right, so they would always talk about, they would show you a cartoon about don't pull away with the speaker in your window.
Oh,
they would warn you like crazy, and yet it happened every week somebody or two people would do it.
Drinking in the car.
I bet that had something to do with it.
Well, your parents were in the entertainment business, and they liked going to movies, and they took you guys with them.
All the time.
I think my mom liked to shop. That was pretty much it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I told you the highlight of my childhood was going to Zayers to get a piece of pizza. If I was good, I'd come home with a new toy and a piece of pizza.
A big day for me was warm cashews at the Kmart.
Oh. All right, we'll see. Oh. And, you know, these are little kid moments. It's just, you know, I was with my grandma.
Pound of cashews at the, you remember the little nut thing tray?
Yeah. Little nut hut. Yeah.
It would spin. Yeah. Sometimes as a treat when I was really little, the dry cleaner that I grew up in Stickney for the first 4 years of my life.
Closer to me.
And then we moved to, then we moved to Oak Forest when I was four. And the dry cleaner there in Stickney had a monkey in the window. So,
a real monkey?
Yeah, a real monkey.
Honest to God, in a cage?
And in a cage. And then the weird thing is my great-grandfather, who lived in Detroit, had a dry cleaner, and he was a dry cleaner. He also had a monkey in his store. So as a kid, I always thought if you had a dry cleaner, you also
had a monkey. They don't have the monkeys doing the work, did they? Because I'm going to call them in.
I don't think the monkey did much work. Some starch on the weekends, they would apply.
That's monkey business.
A spray, a starch spray, and he would just, that was part of the process. But I just equated, well, it makes sense, I guess, if you have a dry cleaner, what you must have
no,
a monkey. I have no idea why he would do that. But like my mom, like that was a big thing is if you're good, we'll go, we'll watch the monkey. And I, you know, that was amazing to me. I would just sit in the window and watch him. You know, he'd pick up peanuts and whip them at the window and stuff. That's a good day right there.
Huh.
Why the connection of monkeys and dry cleaning?
I don't know.
There's nothing makes sense there.
I don't know, but these childhood moments are sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, what's hot and what's cold. Speaking of monkeys, I don't have a pet monkey, but I have a pet dog, and I don't have the story right in front of me, but I can paraphrase it pretty well. There was a woman who passed away, and she had her dog euthanized, a healthy dog euthanized, that was in her will, because she wanted to be buried with her dog. God, does this get me mad.
That's selfish.
It is totally selfish.
What did the dog say to this? Hey, look at me. I'm the picture of health. What are you doing?
The dog was the picture of health.
I'm grieving over her death, but you don't have to blame me for this.
That is the most selfish and unfair thing I've ever heard in my life.
There's nothing wrong with the dog at all.
No. It's just, you know, I get it. I can't even believe I have Tiki's ashes. I was always that person who said, what are you going to do with your dog's ashes? Tiki was the best dog ever, and I have the ashes, and they're there with his collar, and I don't really do much with them, but I'm thinking now, maybe I want to be buried with Tiki someday. But I wouldn't kill him to do that.
What does it say about the vet that followed through with this wish? That seems counterproductive to what a vet should be doing, doesn't it?
That's what I mean. I don't have the whole story, but so she can be buried.
I would think that a vet would, there must be some sort of an oath that a vet takes to prolong an animal's life unless they're in a bad situation. That's very confusing.
This is from the New York Post. She was a Richmond, Virginia woman. She was so attached to her dog that she took it to her grave.
Mm.
Emma, a healthy Shih Tzu mix.
Language, Wendy. Language.
Was euthanized recently because her owner left explicit instructions in her will. The fur baby was to be put down and laid to rest with her.
Can you help me with that term, fur baby? I'm not familiar with.
Is that
a type of dog?
No, it's like instead of you have a baby.
And its head popped off.
Everything goes back to that. People who don't have kids but have pets, that's their fur babies. And I hate that expression almost as much as baby bump.
Yeah.
I think it's just the word baby I don't like.
Yeah, I'm noticing a trend. Right.
So this woman,
I brought in some sugar babies last week.
And I do like those.
You slapped them out of my hand, though.
Yeah.
I never saw you so violent.
Heartbroken shelter volunteers at Chesterfield County Animal Services, where Emma had a 2-week reprieve from death, said she was a well-bred, pampered, and much-loved pup. They appealed to the executor of the dead woman's estate, begging them not to go through with ending Emma's life, but their pleas were ignored.
That's horrible.
So, I mean, they should... Listen, doesn't an attorney oversee a will, last will and testament?
I believe so.
Well, then that's illegal. You can't just kill an animal.
I don't know if it's immoral. I don't know if it's illegal.
Well, it should be.
It should be illegal. Yes.
It's kind of animal abuse.
It's the worst kind of animal abuse. Well,
they don't suffer.
Right.
I know it's a whole weird thing, but
oh, that's horrible.
It's not. Here's the weird thing too. While killing healthy pets so that they can be interred with owners is sparking ethical debates on social media. The law is crystal clear, says Larry Spiaggi, president of the Virginia Funeral Directors Association. It's not legal to put a dog's cremated remains or any animal in a casket and bury them.
With a human?
That's interesting. Years before the law changed, Spiaggi said a client asked him to make similar arrangements, and he's still haunted by it. Knowing while we were taking care of her that the poor dog was being euthanized, I still ache over it. Some local vets tell the Virginia news outlet that they refuse to carry out such services.
Good. That's solid. I like hearing that.
Yeah, but then the people are just going to go somewhere else and get it done anyway. There's always a bad person out there. Whenever we're faced with a euthanasia situation, it's a very emotional situation. And beyond everything we talk about that we need to do ethically and we've taken an oath to do, said someone of the Shady Grove Animal Clinic.
Shady.
Dr. Kenny Lucas.
I knew it was Lucas. As soon as you said it, I'm like, I bet this is Kenny Lucas.
So while Virginia state code prohibits burying animals with humans in commercial cemeteries, there are exceptions for final resting spaces that are family owned. I didn't know you couldn't be buried with your dog.
All right. So here's the weird part of this. When my mom died, my dad just assumed they could be buried next to each other in a cemetery. But because they are of different religions, my dad Jewish, my mom Catholic, it took him 3 days to find a cemetery that was okay with it. They could both be buried in the same cemetery, but not next to each other. They had to be buried in different parts of the cemetery because they have religious differences. He finally found one that gave into it. But it took 3 days to find one that goes, yeah, you're Jewish, she's Catholic. Yeah, we're okay with that. They wouldn't do it. But this is an animal and a human being, and a cemetery is like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, no, this is in the casket.
Yeah. The
ashes go in the casket, and
right.
They say that's illegal. You're not even supposed to do that.
So nobody would allow that.
That's what he says in Virginia, anyway, that's the law. And I know, I don't think there's people in dog cemeteries.
No.
But why isn't there? I'm not kidding. What if somebody doesn't get married and has, you know, 5 dogs in their lifetime? Why
can't... I think it'd be easier to convince a cemetery to let the dog into a human cemetery than the opposite. I think if...
But it could be a commingling funeral. What is it called? Cemetery.
Where we stay in Maine, there's a cemetery...
A lobster cemetery?
They do have lobster cemeteries. They do. And the headstones always have a little dish of butter next to them. It's the weirdest thing. All right, so this is an old, old, old cemetery in a part of Maine called Perkins Cove. And everybody.
Oh, Perkins Cove?
Perkins Cove, eh? So everybody there, when you look at the headstones as you pass by, they're all in the 1800s, right? The early to mid, some late 1800s. And there's a couple of monuments where it's your standard cemetery monuments, some with crucifixes, some with other.
The family name or whatever.
Right. But some of them are engraved to look like animals, like dogs. I can't think if there's any cats, but there are definitely dog ones. So I was curious one time as we're walking past, and I went and looked, and it was a combination of mostly humans, but some with their dogs.
Oh, really?
Right there in the same cemetery. Yeah, you'd see the headstone, and it would be the name of the guy or the girl, and then buttons.
Oh.
1868 to 1873.
I like that.
Yeah. But it's weird to see, like, I don't remember ever seeing it, unless it was in a pet cemetery. But I've never been to a pet cemetery, but I saw the movie.
That's because you're scared.
I'm scared. That's why.
I am so with you. Yeah. I don't really think people are coming back. I know I saw Night of the Living Dead and stuff, but.
That was fiction, but pet cemetery is real.
I agree.
Yeah, they're coming back. But it was weird to see headstones intricately engraved where it was a dog. You know, you wouldn't think, and I don't know what the cost was. It was the 1800s. Everything was $4 back then. So.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been out to Woodlawn Cemetery. Oh, God, where is that? I don't know the exact location, but there was a circus tragedy. There was a circus train that crashed. And a bunch of circus employees were killed in this train accident. And they buried some of the remains. Here we go. They're stone elephants. They're headstone elephants. And it's Woodlawn Cemetery. It marks the graves of five elephants, casualties of a long ago Forest Park circus train derailment. As legend has it, the elephants who used their trunks to extinguish burning circus cars only to die as heroes were too heavy to be moved and were buried near the spot where they fell.
Wow.
I don't know that
those
that's
would be
true.
Huge plots, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I thought there were some of the people. It's a mass grave. That's what I thought.
They buried them all together?
The plot is called Showman's Rest.
Hmm.
It was established by the Showman's League of America and holds 750 graves. Most of those buried here worked for circuses or carnivals. They were circus owners, talent bookers, stunt pilots, high wire acts, magicians. No animals are buried here.
Okay. Bearded ladies?
Maybe.
Conjoined twins? Sword swallowers? Please don't squeeze the showman.
We gotta go. I'm finished.
Woodlawn Cemetery is in Forest Park.
Okay, that's what it is. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jazz.
I knew the exact. It's right by North Riverside, but I didn't know where the cutoff was. It's right near Maywood as well, so Forest Park. Thank you, Jazzy.
Instead of flowers, I always leave a box of animal crackers when I go there.
I gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah, thank God.
We're out of time and out of taste. To be exact. We'll close things off in a minute. All right, that's it. We're out of time, sadly, but we will have another
chance. Not sadly. It's time to go, Bill.
There's no question about it. It's time to go. Go outside and play, everybody, and then tomorrow at 10 o'clock, come back and listen for another program. It should be a good one. Matt Kassane will be on.
Chicago's Matt Kassane. We've known him a very long time.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I want to say over 30 years.
He does the best Chris Farley impression I've ever seen. You can ever I can't imagine doing a better impression of a guy than he does of Chris Farley.
And there's a new documentary coming out on A&E Monday, and he's featured in it.
Yeah,
so we'll
about
talk
Chris
to
Farley. Yeah.
Tomorrow's Friday. Can I just tell you how great that is?
True. Yeah.
Best day ever invented, Bill.
Best day ever invented. Will we get any more Broadway show tunes from you tomorrow? That's just a Thursday feature?
Yep.
Darn it. We'll find something good tomorrow. You'll see. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.